For hanging out with us today.
Yeah, that went by fast. This was fun.
It went by too fast.
Okay, next month.
Next month. We'll see you again then. But for now, say hi to everybody over at Family Natural Foods for us.
Will do. Thank you.
We'll stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here on the morning mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez, the white homeowner in Missouri who shot a black teenager in the head when he mistakenly walked up to his house, is set to be arraigned on assault charges today. Correspondent Adriana Diaz reports from Kansas City.
According to the criminal complaint, Lester told police that he was, quote, scared to death. He says he thought someone was trying to break in and says he saw a black male approximately 6 feet tall trying to open the storm door. Ralph told police he didn't try to open the door. Ralph's aunt told us he is 5'8". And 140 pounds.
Lawmakers in one southern state are doing more to protect the gun industry. CBS's Jim Crisula.
Republican lawmakers in Tennessee have approved a proposal that further protects gun and ammunition dealers, manufacturers, and sellers against lawsuits. The move comes just 3 weeks after a Nashville school shooting killed 6 people, including 3 9-year-olds. A Democratic state senator calls the GOP action, quote, disrespectful timing.
The Supreme Court is on deadline. It has until midnight to decide whether a federal judge in Texas had the legal right to suspend use of the abortion pill mifepristone. Correspondent Jan Crawford.
This case is an effort by a conservative legal group in Texas to restrict access to abortion nationwide, even in states that would otherwise allow it. They're trying to outlaw that abortion pill, saying that the FDA didn't properly approve it more than 20 years ago.
With additional lawsuits pending, our legal analyst Ricky Kleeman says it's just the beginning for Dominion Voting Systems, which has reached a $787 million agreement with Fox News.
Smartmatic $2.7 billion lawsuit, not only against Fox News, against other news people and individuals. They have a blueprint now. They just have to follow the roadmap.
The L.A. school district has reached a tentative agreement with the teachers union that would raise average teacher salaries to $106,000. School board president Jackie Goldberg tells our affiliate KNX.
This is a good contract. It also reduces class size over time by 2 students. It also provides more pay for nurses so we can finally get some.
A high school math teacher in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Rebecca Peterson, has been named this year's Teacher of the Year. This former student congratulated her on CBS Mornings.
Ms. Peterson recognized a love for teaching that I had, but that I didn't recognize, and she sent an email to my mom unprompted, which was so sweet that my mom was like crying over it. And she kind of guided me and encouraged me to start teaching myself and showed me the ways that she teaches and gave me advice on how to have compassion for my students. And that has changed my life.
This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Right now, spring is at the Home Depot, and it's time to get growing. Whether you're planting vegetables or herbs or just sprucing up your indoor space with lush 6-inch Vigoro Tropicals, we have what you need to get your season started. Visit your local Home Depot garden center today and shop our easy-to-grow, bigger, bolder tropicals like peace lilies, dracaena, or ficus plants. Do your spring at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Product varies by store.
We're recording this Progressive commercial on a real boat to let people know that when you bundle your home, boat, and other vehicles...
What was that, Flo?
Progressive saves you money, Jamie.
Why are we doing this on a boat?
We were going for authenticity.
We're going to the city?
Authenticity.
You mean Atlantic City? But we're not in the Atlantic. Are we?
Bundle your home and other vehicles with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High temperatures reach up to 41 this afternoon under overcast skies with scattered thunderstorms likely. East winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows level off around 35. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 59. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 34.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine,
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this April 19th, 2023. Got your host, James J. Mailoff, here at 10:05 on the clock. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in our friend Jacob Wagner, public health strategist with Wood County Health Department. I have a couple of different events to talk about with Jacob, the Take Back event, the community substance use engagement event we want to talk about with him. Right now, we have in studio with us our good friend, Mayor Shane Blazer, Wisconsin Rapids. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, James.
Good to see you, as always.
You too.
We got our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media here as well. Taylor and the gang, good to see you, Taylor. Shout out to all of them. Encourage you to follow follow our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Type into your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Their YouTube page should show up. Go ahead and like that page. Keep up with all the great things that they are doing over there. Sir, how you been?
I've been well.
And good. How are you? Good. Doing good over here. There's a couple of places I wanted to start and everything. The first thing I wanted to do was ask an update about the jail, but really I just want to talk about it. Whether there's an update or not, I just find it fun and interesting. I drive past it at least once a day and seeing the construction, the cranes over there, the hard work that they are doing and the great work that they are doing. It also feels like it's going, I don't want to say fast, but it definitely feels like it's going on pace. Is it?
Yeah, probably Sean's the best one to talk about it, because I'm sure he's very intimately involved. But, I also every day drive by there, and it's amazing when they bring in a new concrete panel.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Because it's a formed panel, and... Yeah, they put it up, and it's just – but I keep thinking and reminding myself that the interior work is probably going to be all the wiring and all the, finishes. That's going to just take an astronomical amount of time because I can't imagine the amount of wire that's got to be pulled in there.
Yeah.
Working with our community development department, everything – we regularly meet with them, they do, and so, it sounds like everything's going very well, and there hasn't been any issues or problems that I've been made aware of, and it's – you see it on paper and you think, okay, this is a jail, but then when you start seeing it, it's going to be big.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I knew the designs. Yeah. I knew how big it was going to be, but then you're seeing it like, okay, yeah, that is a lot bigger than I realized. I grew up in a construction family, and I feel like it's a world that I understand really well. And then I think about projects like that, like the big I've worked on a two-story house. Like that's the biggest thing I've ever worked on. That kind of project like that, something that massive. When it comes to these bigger projects, is it traditional to get updates on the project for you to have meetings with a said group and kind of get an update and, hey, how are things going? How are you guys schedule-wise, that kind of thing?
So it's more so with our community development department because our inspectors are involved inspecting work.
Yeah.
And so they have more of a relationship and meetings with Ruben and everybody at the sheriff's department or the county. And so they kind of work more so on that. And I'm kept advised of any problems if there were any, but otherwise I don't kind of get intimately involved in some of those things.
You got enough on your plate. And this is the part of government that I really enjoy of the, because I think sometimes it can get a little rough for people. I got to go through this person, then this person, this person to get something done or whatever. But it's checks and balances. It's meant to be that way. It should be that way because you don't want just one overlord telling everybody everything to do and stuff. So I like that part of it. I also find it really interesting sometimes of how that works. I think it's also really helpful when it comes to politics nowadays because most of us, I know what a mayor is, but we don't know everything that a mayor is responsible for, or I know what a state official is, or a congressman is, or a senator. But you ask your average person, okay, well, what are they in charge of? And they couldn't tell you a lot of that stuff. You mentioned Sean, Sheriff Becker. One of the things him and I really liked doing early on in our conversations was, he would have people all the time complaining about something. It's like, well, that's a local thing. I'm a county sheriff, understanding the differences of those things.
Yeah, and and sometimes we struggle too. So for the public, it's even a greater struggle.
Yeah.
But with this project, we have been in very open communication with the county committee, the sheriff, Ruben over there. And so this has been a great collaboration and how well we are working together and that we can work together, two entities of government, because, it's been very smooth and we've worked through every little problem that might be. it's been easy. It's been easy, but it's obviously stressful. And I couldn't imagine at the county level that size of a borrowing, and you know, it's a big undertaking.
Yeah.
But it's multi-level though. You know, the $1 million that are spent a year to house out of county prisoners, and you know, the amount of time it takes to transport people back and forth, and there's so many facets to the project that will help alleviate other issues. But yeah, it's going to be a project though. It is big.
The net economic impact it's going to have is going to be noticeable within, you know, years, if not sooner, once the jail is up and running and everything. The safety part of this is huge, and I would think that even if there were no economic advantages to this, the safety part of this for our officers, for the clients in there, those buildings, is certainly noteworthy. It's important. It's part of what we become a dictatorship or something like that if we don't treat prisoners with justice, with you know, treating them like human beings. And obviously, certainly need to keep our officers safe and those things. So that first and foremost is great about it. But I do, you know, it is a needed point to bring up, and I don't know if we can bring it up enough about the economic impact it'll have. That's very important, a part of this too. It's weird to be excited about a new jail. It doesn't seem like something that you would normally be excited about, but I don't know if this helps other people or not, but for me, when I was a kid and I'd see new buildings going up in Chicago or something like that, I always saw business. I saw dollar signs. I saw, well, that means our city's healthy. We've got businesses booming. We've got people that want to bring their businesses here and stuff. Something like this, it's the same similar thing. I'm seeing dollar signs, the things that you mentioned there. I see safety. I see those things. I don't just see, you know, this added on to what have you, or it's blocking up this street or any of those things.
Yeah, and I also, you know, think that the opportunities that the sheriff is going to have for the inmates there in programmings, mental health, GED, you know, Billy expand on that. The goal is obviously to hopefully that they don't come back.
And yes.
So I think having those more program opportunities and having everybody in our county, in our facility, where those could be, you know, where he can work on those and have those available and hopefully keep people from coming back. And I think that's huge. But then also, like you said, the construction. Anytime you see a crane in the community, it's always a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, because you know it's a major project, and we haven't had a lot of cranes around for a while, and so it's always good to see a couple of them.
It's a good point. I appreciate that. I really appreciate you bringing up the programs.
Mm-hmm.
The first conversation Sean and I had was about stopping the revolving door.
Absolutely.
And how do we do that? And I did not know Sean when we first started talking about it. So I kind of thought I've dealt with law enforcement my whole life on the other side of the tracks, of course, but I know a little bit about that. And I'm like, oh, I understand where he's probably going with this, but I didn't. I didn't understand Sean. I didn't know him that well. And I have since, of course, I consider him a friend now. But at the time, mental health was just beginning to be talked about. And we know now, we have the stats, we have the numbers for this and everything. We see that this is one of the quickest ways to stop that revolving door. It doesn't cure crime, of course, but it helps quite a bit. And, you know, we're very thankful in this area to have people like him, to have a team like he has over there, to have our police department here in Rapids, all on this page of we have to hold people accountable. And there's no slaps on the wrists here. You do something wrong, you got to pay for it. But why did you do something wrong? Instead of just slapping them on the wrists, asking questions, figuring out why.
Right.
These programs that are going to be available through the jail make our city safer, make our community better. These people, they turn their lives around, they start paying taxes, they get a job, they add to our economy. It all adds up. It's not, there's no handout here. This is for everybody. This is a rising tide raises all boats situation.
Yeah, and so, you know, these the people that are in the facility incarcerated, you know, they'll have opportunities and hopefully they'll take advantage of some of them because it's on them, you know.
Yes.
You know, they did what they did and now it's on them if they want to, you know, choose a different path in life.
Yeah.
And, but they'll be there and it's good to see that Sean's, you know, supporting that and making sure those are available and expanding those programs. And, you know, that's a great thing about our sheriff.
Recently, you had a press release out about city adopting the resolution to designate No Mo May. Yeah. So we get to give our lawnmowers a break for May. That's correct. Nice. That's fun.
Yeah. So yeah, this year we talked, and Wausau did this last year. We had this whole registration sign thing, and this year we're foregoing the registration because there was hundreds of people, and it was quite an overwhelming task for Emily in my office, and then handing out signs. But we do have signs, so there's not a requirement to have a sign out, but if you wish to have a sign, we do have them, and they're available.
What is the public opinion that you've heard about this, going from last year to this year? How has it differed, or has it differed?
Probably, people are very supportive of it, and they can actually now support it by not mowing. But, I think, people wish there would be one step further, like no chemical products on a lawn or, some of those things. But, I just think having this opportunity is a step, in that direction, that at least people can kind of support, the pollinators and the bugs and all that. And, if you choose to put chemicals on your lawn, that's okay. It's just their choice. And, but yeah, so an opportunity not to mow is.
It gets a little frustrating sometimes when we make these big first steps, and it's awesome, and it's so hard to make that first step, and then you have this group of people that, yeah, but why didn't you run? why aren't you running at everything? Like, well, I don't know if you know how this works, but maybe you were a baby at one point and you didn't just start running right away. You had to crawl before you could do that. Everything takes time, especially for people out there who don't want to do this or don't understand the benefits of it. We can't push things on people. I'm not a big fan of that. Like, I'm one of the most patriotic people you'll ever meet, but I don't like forced patriotism.
Yeah, you can't.
I don't like that kind of thing, and I don't think that's going to help anybody. That there is some city-designated spots I wanted to mention to people. I see that 20th Street from 2 Mile Avenue to Griffith Avenue, that is a designated spot that will be unmowed. Mm-hmm. 16th Street from 2 Mile Avenue to Coon Avenue. Whitrock Avenue between 16th Street and 20th Street. Around the Stormwater Pond on 16th Street and 2 Mile Avenue. It's a great spot. I love that area. And Robinson Park, the ball fields and spectator areas will be mowed. And Sandlot Park, ball fields and spectator areas will be mowed. Shout out to Robinson Park, one of my favorite places in this whole city. My old stomping grounds over
mine
there.
Too, mine
yeah?
too.
Yeah, also. I didn't know that.
I grew up down the road there. Yeah, the neighborhood guys and I used to always go sledding there when there's a big hill there. And
I'm pretty sure first home run I ever hit was on that second ballpark, the second one they built. Like secondary and everything. Yep. Oh, I love that place.
Yeah, that's a great
spot. The goal in No May is to provide early season forage for native pollinators by reducing or mowing intensity during a month when foraging resources are limited. This is a great opportunity to help out our environment, which is kind of important here in Wisconsin, as agriculture is one of our biggest resources and everything.
Oh yeah,
and it's just also a chance to I think as the other part of this that I find really cool is strangers finding commonality. Mm-hmm. You got families around here that may have never even seen each other or knew they were living in the same town, and like, oh, they got a No May sign too. Like, or, oh, they're doing it too, and finding some commonality there. That's kind of cool.
That's an end point. You'll see a sign or something like that, and you're like, ah, okay. There's commonality amongst communities.
Yeah.
If you don't want to participate, that's your choice, which is just fine. And if you want to participate, here's an opportunity.
You can learn more about No Mow May, the initiative, at wirapids.org/No Mow May. You can go to wirapids.org to get a lot of the information that the mayor and I are talking about today. Really exciting news I found. Another press release that just came out a couple days ago, came out yesterday. The Arbor Day Foundation names Wisconsin Rapids Tree City USA. What does this mean?
We've been a tree city for as long as I can ever think back.
Yeah.
And obviously in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding area, we have been a big proponent of our forest products and our forest industries and our trees. And we plant a lot of trees. And so we are definitely a tree-friendly city, and we highly encourage tree planting. Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's Wisconsin. I mean, that alone. This is another one of those things where, as a city boy, I've grown to, like, as I've gotten older and older, appreciate nature more and more and want to be in nature more and more. And I feel silly when I say it, but my favorite part of nature is trees. I love trees. I think they're cool. I think they're interesting. There's so many different varieties. I didn't grow up around trees, so I didn't get to climb trees when I was a little kid and stuff. So now as an adult, I just find them really awesome and interesting. they're also obviously the huge benefits they have. I'm not sure if I'm breaking news to anybody, but trees kick off oxygen. Oxygen's pretty good. I don't know if it's a controversial thing or not, but I'm a big fan of oxygen. That alone seems like a pretty good reason to support trees. Obviously, we are a paper state. We are a paper country, but we're a paper state that produces a lot of paper, so we appreciate trees for that. So many other things, but what does it mean to be a tree city? Is there any definition to that? Is there any, or is it just something that's really cool to be able to promote and support our community, you know, which is fine, too.
We put up to, but yeah, there's certain criteria that you need to meet, and I don't know specifically off my hand. Our Park and Rec department takes care of that.
Yeah.
And but yeah, it's really about, you know, supporting trees, planting trees, and recognizing trees and their importance of trees.
Yeah, a nice opportunity too with Arbor Day around the corner and stuff to be able to celebrate that. It's the recognition by meetings and programs. They have four requirements: maintaining a tree board of department, having a tree care ordinance, dedicated an annual community forestry budget of at least $2 per capita, and hosting an Arbor Day observance and proclamation. So certainly things that we do around here.
Yeah, our Park Direct department was just trained, so they are able to, with the Emerald Ash Borer, they're able to treat trees in our parks and our public spaces. And so this year they will be doing treatments of that. And, you know, I think now, though, you know, as we've seen over time with different species of trees, and they've had their issues, you know, it seems like communities will plant trees the same varieties. And mm-hmm. so now we're trying to focus more on planting a different variety of trees, so if there is the newest bug or newest disease that hits a tree, it won't wipe out all of our public space trees. So it's really about now creating a variety of trees out there.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that part of it. That's a really I find that really interesting. I got to look more into that, because that's something that I think has a lot of layers to it. I would imagine. You brought this to our attention today, sir, and I thought we'd take some time talking about it, the cultural assets, this cultural coalition that is going on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so my assistant in my office, everybody knows Emily, and Emily is very passionate about this this group. She's kind of put together, and there's been some meetings. We had a thing at the library, and so now there's a forum that's going to be taking place on April 25th. From 6 to 8 at the library, and it's free to the public, and they have, they're going to have taste of different culture foods, meet other people of other cultures, and there's going to be a panelist discussion, and a scavenger hunt, and just all kinds of things. There's going to be limited child care there, so if you have kids, kids are welcome. But yeah, it's just a great opportunity to learn about other cultures, because we have some diverse culture here, which is great. And, you know, if you take time to get to know some of these other cultures and some of their history and some of their ceremony, and, you know, it's interesting. As you know, all of us have that in our backgrounds, no matter where we're originally from.
Mm-hmm. Every culture is unique, awesome, and wonderful, and should be celebrated. And when it comes to an area like ours, my old stomping grounds, I grew up around the United Nations. I mean, Chicago, you got Little Italy, Little Chinatown, you've got all these different things, and it's all I knew growing up, the foods, the cultures, learning about other cultures and all those things. I come out here, and I stood out like a sore thumb. There weren't a lot of kids that looked like me. There weren't a lot of Jewish, Italian, Egyptian kids walking around and everything. For a while there, that was difficult, but then I had teachers really help me. They would, every year during Hanukkah, I would go up in front of the class and explain what Hanukkah was to kids, because most of them had never met a Jewish kid, let alone knew what these were and stuff. And after every time, I would get people asking me questions about it and stuff. And as a kid, I was a little, what it's like to be a kid. These things make you uncomfortable and you don't like doing it or whatever. But for one, on one side of it, I think it's part of what led me to this job of doing public speaking and everything. Yep. But also, it helped me understand that there were kids growing up that would pick on me for about my hair or this or that. after those little, you know, meeting or those little things, I would do speeches or whatever you want to call them. I would have questions, and then it was like, okay, I'm getting picked on their team, like they're picking me for football or something like that, and we become friends and we're okay. And I realize more and more, and I think this is pretty understandable, that most of our fears or most of our unlikes stem from unknowing. Mm-hmm. And you take you maybe go to one of these or you go to all of these discussions and you learn a little bit more about another culture. You learn a little bit more about another person. It's not to say that you're going to like or fall in love with that culture or anything, but just understanding it can decrease hate. A lot of hate comes from misunderstanding. A lot of hate comes from unanswered questions. You get those questions answered, and maybe we can get to a point in society where if we don't like each other, it's because somebody's a jerk. And just because of that, not because of the color of their skin or who they pray to or any of these things. We are so lucky in this town, in this area of central Wisconsin. We're a melting pot. And there's not a whole ton of rural areas that have that throughout our country. We've been fortunate to bring a lot of immigrants in. We've been fortunate to have a lot of just already built-in different ethnicities. If you go back to European settlers in this area, German, Polish, all this, even that is very unique. There's so much beautiful culture in this area.
Yeah, I always, you know, we're all Caucasian, I guess, you know, not all of us, but, you know, but that doesn't mean that's, you know, our history and our heritage.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up a very strong Norwegian and eating lefse my grandma made and, you know, things that, you know, other cultures and other people haven't had. And so, yeah, so we are unique, even though we may be, quote, the same color, but we all have different heritage.
Oh, yeah.
But I always say it's food, you know, no matter what culture you're from or your heritage, they all have their own food, and that's something we all enjoy. And that's what I really enjoy about, you know, multicultural is, you know, being able to try different foods, you know, where things that are common in that culture, something I may have never experienced, and it's always fun to try, and I obviously I love food, so...
I got yelled at by this this older Greek gentleman when I was a kid, and I had an issue for a little while there with being around Greek things and Greek people and stuff because I was afraid I'd get in trouble or whatever. My dad takes me to this gyro shop, and the guy's cutting the lamb right in front of you and everything, and we're talking and stuff. I leave there. I not only love gyros, but I love Greek people. I love Greek culture. I think it's awesome and interesting and stuff. Like it to your point, you know, food brought me to this. Food brought me in. The gyro brought me into this and everything. It's whatever it takes. Sometimes it's food.
Yeah.
It's music sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It brings us. It brings us together, and it shows how we have more in common than not. There is no creed, no culture, no matter who you are or what you are. You have more in common with that other, you know, that person that you think is on the other end of the spectrum than you do not. It brings us closer together, shows how we're connected.
Absolutely.
These are taking place in McMillan Library from on April 25th from 6 to 8. The first session will be at 6, welcoming in the Fine Arts Center. 6:15 will be the local panel discussion Fine Arts Center. 6:55 around there, they'll take a break and then come back with the social hour and scavenger hunt at the all-purpose room. You had me at scavenger hunt. There needs to be more adult scavenger hunts. They're just fun. And it's very cool to bring all these cultures together, to bring all this information to one place. I appreciate your assist. I appreciate Emily for a lot of reasons. This is really cool, too.
Yeah, she's very passionate about this, and I highly support it. And yeah, even this weekend, we're celebrating the one-year Hmong association group in town.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be a celebration on Saturday for that. So I'm looking forward to that and celebrating that with the Hmong heritage people.
I like having more and more of these things, not just in our society, but in that we can get out there to the rest of the world. I'd like the rest of the country to realize how much of a melting pot Wisconsin is and how open Wisconsin is to cultures and things. We need more of that. Mm-hmm. That's really cool to see. I wanted to wrap up just reminding the audience about the tornado tests that are going to be going on tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Especially for anybody out there that may not be aware of them. We don't want you being freaked out or anything like that. And going through it like, wait a minute, what happened in school? What did we do in school again? Where's the desk? I need a little kid's desk that I can get under. Otherwise, I'm not going to be safe. Like, the Wisconsin Emergency Management and National Weather Service are conducting a statewide tornado drill tomorrow at 1:45 and at 6:45. This is part of the annual Tornado and Severe Weather Awareness Week that wraps up this Friday. So keep that in mind, everybody, and spread the word just in case there are people out there that I can't imagine anybody doesn't listen to us, but I'm joking. Please do spread the word about this and make sure that our community is informed.
Absolutely.
Mayor, is there anything else you wanted to touch on before we let you go?
No. I think I know people are unaware or aware, but Lincoln High School had an open house on Sunday.
Yes.
I wasn't able to attend, but I saw a number of pictures, and, you know, our school superintendent and the school board have done amazing remodeling jobs to make our schools safer. But yeah, if you can find online on Facebook, what they created at Lincoln High School is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, what a showcase. And
a little jealous. Impressive.
Yeah, they little did an jealous, amazing job over there. And our schools are more safer because of it, but they have enhanced you know, the appearance of it. And it's really neat. And yeah, I like the colored lights I drive by at night.
Yeah,
and
it
just looks sharp.
It really does, yeah. Always good to talk to you, Shane. Thanks so much for being here with us today.
Thanks, James.
And, of course, a big thank you to Taylor and our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. I encourage you to support all that they do. Great work that they do. Support it. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James Help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, alright, you got me, I give up. That's it! The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High temperatures reach up to 41 this afternoon under overcast skies with scattered thunderstorms likely. East winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows level off around 35. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 59. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 34.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this 19th of April, 2023, 10:33 on the clock, and you have your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined right now by our good friend, Jacob Wagner, with the Wood County Health Department. Jacob is the public health strategist over there. Good morning, Jacob.
Morning, James.
How you been?
I've been good. The weather's been good. Took a little turn there.
Yeah, yeah, that's been interesting. But it has been nice to have this, looking forward to the temperatures coming up here and everything.
I like the rain, so I'll take it.
I'm with you. There's something about rain just calming, just something nice about
it.
We've got some important events to talk about coming up here, Jacob. And they've become events. I don't want to say the community looks forward to, but they note them on their calendar. And I've talked to many listeners that will, like, first up, we're going to talk about the drug take back day. I know people who have a little cardboard box and they just put those their medications and things in there because they know this day is coming now. I think we've gotten to a point with this day now where a little like Truce to Reuse and some of these other events we have around here that we, I don't want to say look forward to again, but that we plan for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's great that people know to expect something in April, expect something in October, a way to dispose of the medications. And even talking to the pharmacies, because we have flyers and little bag stuffer cards, and even the pharmacies, just talking with them for a little bit, just the large quantity of prescriptions that they get. So they're thankful that we have a way to dispose of a mass quantity for them so that they're don't get filled up their containers that they have in the pharmacies.
For those that don't know about the event, let's inform them about it. Let's explain it to them and tell them exactly what this day is all about.
Yeah, so it's Saturday towards the end of the month in October and in April. We do a National Drug Take Back Day where people can bring their prescription medications that are expired or they're not using anymore, and they can dispose of them. And we usually have little handouts and useful resources for you. We've got some cool lock boxes. So it's just a really good way to come and dispose of those medications that maybe are taking up space or not really going to do any good. Just sitting there and just bring them down. And it also helps the environment, not getting those medications out into the land. And it also prevents those from getting into the wrong hands. So if you had like a controlled medication, a pain script, a ADHD medicine, something that would be a controlled medication, and if that's not being used or expired, just to keep it from getting in the wrong hands, just also bring that and dispose of it. And they accept all medications, pet medications, over-the-counter medications, creams, inhalers, non-aerosol sprays, liquids, ointments, patches, vials. The creams and liquids do have to be in the original container, but anything else does not have to be in the original container. So don't worry if you've been piling up in a Ziploc bag. They get that all the time. You can black out your name or peel off the label if you'd like to, just to keep your information discreet so that nobody has to get a hold of that information. They don't accept aerosol cans, illegal drugs, needles and sharps. If you do need a way to dispose of your needles and sharps, we have been trying to increase that. So you can get a hold of me at the health department or just even call the health department. They'll transfer you to me. Trying to increase access to getting rid of needles and sharps so I can point you in the right direction. I know Aspirus does have a needle disposal in their entrance too. So they don't dispose of thermometers, and they don't dispose of personal care products. So don't bring your sunscreen or your skincare products.
Jacob, when it comes to this, like we talked about before, most people understand this event, understand the positives of this event. Are there things that you have found organically in the years doing, because you've been doing this a little while now, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to like seeing the things that you've seen that like, oh, that's been an advantage, or this has really helped. Like for me, one of the things that I've noticed is it feels like this conversation we're having now a little more open. Like it's a more of an accepted conversation to have. People don't shy away from it or give you a funny look or talk in a hushed voice. It feels like now we're able to talk about drugs. We're able to talk about addiction a little bit more openly. And it doesn't become this thing that can lead to people staying in that world, staying addicted in those things. The shame, the inability to have anybody to talk to, a lot of those factors.
Yeah, absolutely. And from a public health standpoint, it's great for us to reach an audience that may be getting prescription medications or know people with prescription medications to educate on that. We have so many resources. We have deactivation kits where you can dispose of these medications at home. We have lock boxes to keep your medication safe and away from, you know, if you're a grandparent or a parent and you don't want your kids to even accidentally, you know, get their hands on this, we have lock boxes. We have, you know, educational handouts, and we try to promote these in the community, but an event like this is just a great way to say, you know, hey, you know, if you've got these medications, come access these resources. We're able to go out and talk with you and send out flyers and just, yeah, exactly, get the conversation started that, you know, it's not good to dispose of medications, you know, in the trash or down the toilet, and that there is a safe way. And we're trying to really make it so people don't have to go out of their way. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to do it at the Walmart in Marshfield, at the Pick and Save in Rapids. We're trying to make locations where you can go just about your day and then just drop off those medications. And we try really hard to promote it, but I think it's great that these actual locations will say, hey, you know, while you're shopping, you know, look, here's a drug disposal, so maybe you can run home quick and grab those and dispose them. But it's not like an end-all. If you don't have them there, if that day doesn't work for you, there is permanent disposal sites, and those you can find those throughout the town. So if that's another thing, that if you need to dispose of these later on, you can get a hold of me, and I could send you materials on where to dispose them. Or even at the take back events, if you say, hey, I don't have my medications on me, or I know someone that needs to dispose of these, they can't access this today, they'll have handouts there. We have cool refrigerator magnets, you know, with all these locations of where to dispose of these medications. So if they're not being used anymore, most medications, I used to work at a pharmacy, so most medications have about a year shelf life. And that's not to say that they're not effective, it's just that they're not 100% effective. The active ingredient in them, it just isn't as effective. So if it's something that has expired, you know, and you do need more, I would still dispose of those and contact your doctor.
We have this thing in our society about this don't look down theory. This, if I tell somebody, you know, because we all understand, hey, don't look down. And what do? You look down. The idea of if we just don't bring this up, then society will just kind of like, it'll just go by and it won't bother anybody.
Exactly.
And I'd like to think by now, most rational people understand that's ridiculous. That doesn't work. We had a wonderful discussion yesterday that's going to be on Director's Cut this Sunday, where we had one of your colleagues from the Wood County Health Department, Dave, on talking about suicide awareness. And talking about having a conversation about suicide, and it felt like a silly question, but I wanted to ask him that very question. Like, there's people that are afraid if I bring up suicide around somebody, is that going to put the thought in their head? And there's no science to that. There's no evidence to that. The chances are bringing something up is not going to make said person do that. Just because we do that with looking down doesn't mean we're going to do that with all these other things. If we don't talk about drugs are not going to go away. They just become worse. That's what we're already dealing with. We're dealing with the aftermath of that. By talking about these things, by sharing this information, bringing the stigma away from it, not only are we hoping to make our community safer, and those things make our environment safer, we could be saving lives. Like, I think about my father, and I wonder if he was growing up now, would he have spent the majority of his life addicted, or could he have gotten help? Could he have been in a more welcoming society, in a more open society, been able to get better quicker, faster and everything? Because there's nothing in society that's saying we're doing this to try to, you know, make it easier for addicts to get better or anything like that. Like, it's still, you got to work for this. Like, there's no handout here. But man, the reward is there, and we are there for you and going to help if we can. Having a more open society doesn't hurt anybody. There's no side effect to empathy. It's not as if empathy is going to cause hives. No, empathy is a great thing. Empathy is good. Like, there's nothing negative to that.
And I feel like you just can't ignore it anymore with fentanyl and carfentanyl and just all of these overdoses in our community. I mean, and you just, and I have heard those conversations coming up from places that I wouldn't expect. So I think you're right. I think it's come to that point where we are more open about it. We're having these discussions. And from the health department, it's fantastic to have so many partners and organizations that join us in these efforts. So we are really lucky in that matter.
You mentioned the kinds of meds that aren't able to be disposed. I do remember this question from last year. What about animal medications?
Yep. If you have vet medications, those are completely acceptable.
Okay.
You can bring those. And even, I know we had mentioned like illegal drugs on here too. If you are in possession of that or know somebody that is trying to dispose of that, there is ways to dispose of that. But you know, you would need to contact the police department to dispose of that. So they say that in a lot of their permanent disposal sites, they'll get illegal drugs, and it's just a different process they have to go through. So they get a lot of sharps and illegal drugs in those permanent disposal sites. There is proper ways to dispose of those where you will not get in any trouble at all. And again, if you want to reach out to me or to the health department, they'll direct you to me, and I can help you through that process.
And we'll get that information out before we let you go today. Let's talk about the locations before we go to our break.
So the locations are the Walmart in Marshfield, and that will be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The City Hall in Nakusa, that'll be from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. The Police Department in Pittsville from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. The Fire Department in Port Edwards from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Police Department in the Town of Rome from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And the Pick and Save in Wisconsin Rapids from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
I want to send a big thank you to all of those businesses, supporting this event, hosting these events and everything. I know Pick and Save has done it every year. Just a big shout out to all of them for doing this. I really appreciate that. Do you mind if we go over one more time before break the accepted items, the non-acceptable items? Just get that in people's heads one more time.
So the acceptable items are prescriptions, controlled and non-controlled prescriptions, over-the-counter medications, creams, inhalers, non-aerosol sprays, liquids, ointments, patches, pet medications, and vials. And the creams and the liquids do have to be in the original containers, but the rest of those, you can put those in any container that you need to get them there. And they do ask that people do mark out their name or scratch out their name or pee off the label just for privacy of your information. And the unaccepted items are the aerosol cans, the biohazardous materials such as body fluid or blood, household hazardous waste such as paint, pesticides, oil or gas, illegal drugs, needles and sharps, mercury thermometers, and personal care products such as lotion, sunscreen, and shampoo. And I've been told that they will take vapes at these events, but they're without a battery. So if the battery can be deattached, they will take that. But if it's one of those ones where the battery is a part of the vape, they will not take that.
Good to know. I appreciate that, Jacob. Thank you. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We got another big event coming up that we want to talk about with Jacob here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art supporting artists in their own words.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with a chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 41. Winds out of the east 10 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tonight 35. Cloudy skies expected. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Highs level off around 59. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 34.
Welcome back to Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We are with Jacob Wagner. He is the public health strategist over at the Wood County Health Department. We say a good morning to all of our wonderful friends at the Wood County Health Department. Jacob, make sure you say hi for us over there. Sue and all the gang over there. We love our friends at the health department. I wanted to get into this one with you, the Community Substance Use Engagement Event. It's a long title for a lot of reasons. It's got to be. It's got to be because this is a yeah. good event. This yeah. is an important event. Let's tell people about this one, Jacob.
Yeah. Well, there is a community coalition that focuses on youth substance prevention, on reducing adult misuse, and creating and fostering a recovery environment in Wood County. And that community team is the Impact community team. So Impact stands for inspiring and mobilizing people to action for community transformation. We don't say that because it's a mouthful, but that's what it means. And it's a team of community members, of businesses, organizations coming together to focus on these efforts. And we want the community to show up to these. It's really supposed to be led by the community and backed by all these partners and organizations. And we've got some community members, but we really want to engage the community to come and be a voice in this. To even receive the agendas and the minutes of these meetings. You know, I know people are busy. We meet somewhere between 9 and 5 during the week. So I know not everyone can make it, but to even be a part of this, to get those emails, those agendas and minutes and say, hey, Jacob, this is never going to work, or hey, I've got a great idea, or I like this, how can I help? We need the community to be involved in this, because that's where the real change is going to happen. That's where the real effort is going to come from.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So we're decided to host an event for the community to come mm-hmm. and just learn about Impact and learn about the efforts of what we're doing. So on Monday, May 1st, we figured Monday was a good day to try to battle sports and all mm-hmm. that. So on Monday, May 1st, from 5 to 6:30 p.m. in the Mid-State Auditorium here in Wisconsin Rapids, we're going to share about Impact. We're going to share about the harm reduction efforts that we have in the community around Narcan and fentanyl test strips. We're going to hear from the LEO program and their work that they're doing with the youth on just educating them on how their brains work and how decision making happens. And we're going to hear from a community member that is in active recovery and just his story about the recovery environment here in Wood County. And we're going to just hear from our youth initiative with the PATCH program, from these teens that are being educated at the health department, and they're educating other teens, and they're speaking and educating providers. And it's just an event to come and learn about what we're doing and be a part of it. And we've got Polito's is going to bring mm-hmm. a ton of pizzas. Yeah. And we got Starbucks, and Starbucks has been fantastic for us lately. They're going to come and serve drinks and everything they have. We also have a raffle, which I did not put on our flyer, but we have some Starbucks, coffee and mugs, and I believe gift cards. We got a few of those. So we'll have people sign in, and we'll also raffle some of those off. And I'm really excited. This event, we've gotten Hmong and Spanish flyers out, and so we have translators there to help with that too. So really hoping people can come down, learn about the efforts, and then become a part of those efforts.
It's really easy, and I think events like this in the past were very preachy. And and one thing that you guys do at the Wood County Health Department I appreciate and respect so much is the open conversation, the organic conversations that you create. You're not barking at people. You're giving information to people. You're giving people opportunity. You're giving people a chance to learn, to grow, those kind of things, and doing that for the community. These events go so much farther because of the way that you host them, the way that you and the team over there do these things. Because we've had events like this since you know I was a kid, you were a kid, all that and everything, but we had to learn how to reach people. We had to learn how to talk to people. I think about this very often. When I was a kid, they had this great program about with McCruff the crime dog and stranger danger and that, you know, and you, telling every little kid to worry about the guy in the trench coat hanging out at night under the spotlight and under the lamplight and everything. And so all of us were worried about that guy. But we didn't worry about the family member that might be hurting our kids or the teacher or whatever, all these other factors that could happen. Yeah. And we just had to learn from that. Like, okay, we've got to get better. We have to teach kids that, hey, to keep an eye, not so much about the person, but about the actions and being more focused on that. So we learned and adjusted. We have to do the same thing with something like this. We tried say no to drugs. That didn't work. Mm-hmm. It had an opposite effect on things. So now it's more about, we're not telling you what to do, we're telling you the effects of these things. Here is science, here is fact, here is information. Do with it what you will. We hope you do the right things, but here it is, here's the information. And then there's something like this, where it's interesting, but no matter what we're talking about, the younger we can start, the better. And the younger you can inform kids about these things, and I'm not saying 3 years old, obviously, but when they're conscious, when they're able to be making decisions, when you're letting them walk to school on their own, that's a good time to start talking about this stuff. And again, just because it's not as if you bring up drugs to your kid and, oh my God, never heard of drugs before. What's this? I want to dive right into it. No, that's not how this works. They already heard about this stuff, especially in today's day and age. You might as well assume that your children know a little bit about something. Why not give them the actual information instead of them just making assumptions and not having the actual facts?
That's why I'm so happy to end this community engagement event with a community member, one of the Impact team members that is in active recovery, to share his story, because his story is basically, hey, you always say it's not my kids. Well, you know, he's not what you would picture. You know, because of the misconceptions and the stigmas, we always say, oh, well, they don't look or act or they're not in that environment, so this wouldn't happen to my kids or to my family. And then we have a community member to come out that wants to speak and say, I was that kid. I was that person. You know, I would, you know, a picture perfect, you know, upbringing in life. And it just, we never know. I mean, even talking to people in the community, respected people in the community who have family members that, you know, you would never have seen it coming and didn't know how to approach it because, like you said, we kind of ignore it or think that that would never happen to us. And so I agree. And I feel like even in just the 2 years I've been here, I've seen a change in people wanting to come and wanting to be a part of that too. So,
yeah, I think that for a lot of people, they may have felt one way about this subject. Fentanyl changed that. The opioid epidemic changed that. It brought a different face to the addict, to the drug addicted person. All of a sudden, it wasn't that person disheveled and all those things. It's doctors, it's lawyers, it's teachers, it's every single field. Everybody has been affected by these two different things. The opioid thing was bad enough. The fentanyl thing is insane. It's just we've had problems with drugs in different epidemics before. We had the crack epidemic in the 80s and things like that. We've never seen anything like this before, where the tiniest of something can cause the worst of effects. So whether you agree with Jacob and I, whether you want to be on the same page as this or not, I believe that if you care about your loved ones, you got to be informed about this subject. You've got to share this information with people. You have to share this information with young people. To not do it is a public disservice to me. It's like telling your kids not how to cross the street. That's essentially what you're doing. You're not teaching them to look both ways. You wouldn't do that. No parent would ever do that. Yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense to let your kid walk into the world not understanding what the word... They shouldn't hear fentanyl for the first time from one of their friends. Yep. They should hear it from somebody like Jacob, somebody like one of these meetings, or a parent, or somebody like that. And giving them facts, giving them information... Not so much opinion. I don't think opinion is going to get you a long way. We all know how kids are. You tell them not to do something, they're going to maybe do it. But you give them facts, you give them information, they are able to make their own decisions. And that's part of what we're supposed to do as adults, is help them learn how to make decisions for themselves.
Yeah, me and my coworker are always discussing this. Is harm reduction and prevention the same thing? And so mentioned about crossing the street and looking both ways. It's about giving our community the best efforts possible to succeed, to have a high quality of life. And so, yeah, I think that's fantastic. And I feel like we've really gotten a lot more involvement. And if you're somebody that has a concern, that has an opinion, if you're not able to make these meetings, if you're able to voice that to me, I can share it at these meetings where partners are meeting and trying to make a difference, because we need to hear from the community members, because a lot of us, we've done the schooling, we've done the research, we've had the conversations, but we need to know from people that are there, that are actually, you know, making a change, that need our support, how we can help.
Every different voice is a different bit of data, and all that data makes making decisions or coming up with projects like this or anything in the future that much more. Okay, well, we know this amount of people need us to do this in the community. I'm reminded of the United Way in some ways. Like Terry has talked to me about this a lot, about, you know, every community is different that the United Way is in. So they do surveys, they look into things, and like, okay, this community needs help with this more than this community does. This is is the same type of thing. The more information the health department has, the better they're able to, okay, well, this is an issue in this city, or maybe this isn't as big of an issue. We don't have to put as much emphasis on this. It's all data, and it all helps you guys be able to make the do the things that you guys are doing there to keep our community as safe as possible.
Exactly.
And healthy as possible.
Exactly.
I wanted to just run down these events one more time with everybody. Jacob, the Drug Take Back Day, when is that coming up?
So that'll be this Saturday, April 22nd, and it'll be at various locations throughout Wood County.
You can give those locations again if you want.
So that'll be at the Walmart in Marshfield from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the City Hall in Nakusa from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., the Police Department in Pittsville from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., the Fire Department in Port Edwards from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., the Police Department in the Town of Rome from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and the Pick and Save in Wisconsin Rapids from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And the Community Substance Use Engagement event will be Monday, May 1st from 5 to 6:30 over at the Mid-State Auditorium. Big thank you to our friends over at Mid-State. You can find out more information going to their website, woodcountywi.gov. It's woodcountywi.gov. Jacob, is there a way for them to reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can call the health department if you, and they can transfer you any questions to me. But my direct line at the department is 715-421-8907. And then my email is jacob.wagner@woodcountywi.gov.
Next time we get together, I want to talk a little more about the LEO program. That's a very interesting program. I think that'd be fun. Thank